You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
All right, welcome back to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm Andy Bush. Hey, how about that? Just me talking this time. Wonderful guests as usual. We have great producer who gets these guys, and I'd like to start just kind of running through them, then I'll give you my views on this. Remember, you can get more information on my website at andrewbush.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at ABUSCH. The master of disaster with currencies, Eddie Topic, really brought up some great points. You know, and currencies were super hot this week because of the Bank of Japan's comments and Kuroda. And I think Eddie, expressed some exasperation on what the timing of what happened with Kuroda. And when he said it, we were around 124 in the yen, U.S. dollar against the yen, and sunk very quickly to 122. And Eddie's point was like, why are you saying this? You know, why are you saying this now? Why didn't you wait? And there's a lot of reasons why I think there are times when central banks do discuss the currency, and it's basically when it's reached a point where they feel it's gone far enough. Now, there may be disagreement between the Prime Minister, Abe, and the head of the Bank of Japan, Kuroda, but the guy driving the bus right now is Kuroda. So what I would say is this. I'd say 125 is the top. No doubt about it. I mean, it's analogous to back when we had the head of the ECB come out and say at 137 he felt that the euro was toppy, Draghi. And we got to 139 and then we crashed and burned the other way, clearly. So keep that in mind when you're looking at this. Sit up and take notice. When you have central bankers actually say something about the currency, it makes a big difference. And, of course, this week we had the rumor that President Obama had said something to the French that the dollar was too strong. So kind of want to keep that in mind as well. Whether or not that occurred, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that it was circulating through the market. So something smells bad there. And speaking of smelling bad, Greece is still running around Europe like really bad Limburger cheese. I would say that we have seen that keep a cap on euro-dollar strength. Yes, we were down at 105, but yes, we were back near 115. So that's the range that seems to have developed here. We're going to test the upside, I think. I think we're going to get a shot at testing 115 and see where it goes from there. But it's going to be really hard for the euro to break through there, because what I think is going to happen is the U.S. is going to continue to see good growth, and Europe maybe slow down a little bit, not see the same rapid growth in GDP for those countries, especially Spain, Italy, and France. So you want to keep an eye on that. Love to get a shot at selling that, you know, over 115, between 115 and 117, may get a chance to do it. But that's kind of the way this thing should play out. Also, it's fascinating to see what's been going on in Brazil. Eddie brought that up. Love to hear him talk about what he experienced there and how the writing on the wall, literally in graffiti, says corruption. And that's really what drove the U.S. dollar against the Brazilian real to 330. Now we're back down to about 311, still one of the weakest currencies out there. Country's going to have a lot of problems with inflation overall at 8% and a central bank that is raising interest rates that will hurt the economy. They're expecting it to grow only, not grow. It's supposed to decline by 1.2%, so keep that in mind. Real quickly over to Milton Azzurati, one of my good friends. He is just fantastic. I love the way that he analyzes the economy so quickly. And basically, what he was saying is that, and I want to find this, you know, he's basically saying the growth has been uneven. And I love the kind of phrase, the not in my job have we seen wage growth. So skilled labor gets the majority of wage growth, and that continues. But we saw some articles this week talking about builders having trouble finding laborers to do some work. So my guess is we'll start to see some of that wage growth bleed into the construction sector and lower skilled laborers, which would be a great thing, clearly. And it was interesting for Milton to say he expects growth to grow, obviously, in the second and third quarter, plus 3%, but really to overstate it because it's just really taking back some of the growth that was absent in the first quarter. And of course, what was fascinating was that he believes that the Fed is going to wait until Q4 for the first rate hike. And he says the risk is, of course, by doing something like that, they risk credibility. Now, the best thing that Milt had to say to me, now Milt had a lot of good things to say, but the thing that really stood out was he said that the Fed is likely to be one and done because as you go into 2016, the election year, you really don't want to be raising interest rates because you don't want to be seen as partisan. That's true, but to me, that advocates more for a rate hike in September and another one in December to get it done faster so you don't have to do anything in 2016. So we'll keep an eye on that. But great point to make, and that's why I love having that guy on. He is one smart dude, that's for sure. Jack Ablin, another really smart guy, and loved what he had to say, of course, because he's Jack Ablin, smart guy. Their report that came out, Jack kind of went through the basics and really important component of it. And I think the thing that stood out to me was that while they believe that the S&P 500 is overvalued at these levels, compared to the bond market, it is not overvalued. Because in essence, what Jack's saying is like, look, we expect the S&P 500 not to do anything for the next 3 years, plus or minus 1%, really. But what he did say, fascinating enough, was bond yields are way too low, and they should be pegged to nominal GDP, which is somewhere going to be north of 4%. Obviously, nominal does not take out inflation. So when you look at the real GDP numbers of 2.5%, you know, obviously you've got about 1.5% of inflation in there, take you to 4. If 4% is nominal GDP, then we're undervalued on bond yields, overvalued in price by 150 basis points, and that's a lot of room to go. So Jack's looking at 3% by the end of the year, maybe 3.5%. Anything under that is still cheap, but it can remain that way for quite some time. That is basically what I gleaned from these guys. Now, what I'll tell you is that, you know, I agree with almost everything that these guys said this week, and it supports my thinking on the markets. And that is, yes, bonds remain quite overvalued. S&P 500, it really just can't go anywhere because we're in the stretch of where the Fed is going to be raising interest rates, and they have to build in risk premia to figure out and say, well, look, we're not going to go anywhere for a while because we don't know what the heck's going on, because the Fed really doesn't know what the heck is going on. And as far as currencies go, my overall take is this, is that we've seen this massive U.S. dollar rally. We got pretty close to the 15% I was looking for when we were at 117. We got down to 104-something. We've backed all the way up near 115, back down to 108, now back up to 113. That tells you your range is developed for the summer. You'll definitely get an effort to test that upside, but my guess is there's not going to be a heck of a lot of push. You'll probably see a little bit more on the yen to the downside. I for some reason, 118 sounds reasonable to me for them to give it a shot to go down there where there had been quite a bit of support for the currency, for the U.S. dollar. So I think that's where we're going to end up. As far as the Brazilian real, again, it's probably going to be the weakest sister out there. So while they have high interest rates and high rollover rates, right, so if you're shorting the Brazilian real, it costs you money and pretty high interest rate, you got to be careful with that. So you really got to time it pretty good. Don't just sit on a short real position. It'll cost you a ton of money. So with that in mind, we'll take it into next week. Lots of good stuff going on. I would imagine we'll get a vote pretty soon by the House on TPA. I know that's a little far afield from what we're talking about the markets. But keep an eye on this stuff. It's important, and we're going to see a lot more on Greece over the next couple of weeks, sadly. So I hope you're in the markets. Hope you're staying, you know, clean and sober and not getting too overloaded on one side. Let's leave it there for now. I'm Andy Bush. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want more information on today's guests, go to andrewbush.com or follow me on Twitter at ABUSCH. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at 9 a.m. in the West, 12 noon in the East on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.